Hello, everyone. Welcome to Gamescope. Okay. I don't know what we call it now. Is it just Parkscope Talks Games or Gamescope, or what do we want to say?
We call it whatever.
Welcome to whatever. We are recording this after Christmas. We are enjoying our breaks. And of course, as you know, there's not enough Game of the Year talk right now between the 80 billion game sites out there, so we want to put our two cents in, I guess, is the best way to put that. Joining me tonight is Sean. Sean, how are you doing, man?
Doing good.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
Nice, lazy weekend.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. It's wonderful. I don't, like, shower till like, 3 p.m. every single day. It's glorious. But yeah, let's dive into it. We kind of want to cover the past kind of year of gaming and looking forward to it a bit, since we haven't done this in a while. I think what we're going to look into is kind of talk about the news of this year, our games of 2014, and then looking into 2015. So I'll bring up some of the news stories, Sean, and we can kind of hit each other off and see how it's going, and then you can bring up some of your news stories that are real big, that stood out for you this year. I think probably one of the biggest, story so far this year is Microsoft buying Mojang, the people who created Minecraft.
Yeah, that's a big story.
I think that one's huge because just Minecraft is like, people don't give it its respect because it is massive with a generation of people. And it's not our generation, yeah. So we don't see it, but it is huge. So it's like almost vesting interest in the people who are, you know, going to be buying major, or who are going to be the major purchasers a decade from now. So that's real interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I hate that Microsoft bought them. Just because, I don't know, I like the idea of them being independent.
Yeah.
But
it sounded like Notch just wanted to get the hell out of there, so. So right. I don't blame him. I mean, how else would you be able to buy a mansion that has its own candy room, for crying out loud? You heard about that story, right?
Yeah.
And they beat, like, Jay-Z and Beyonce or something crazy like that. Or I forget what it was, but, I mean, a candy room. That's just amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest stories this year. Another one I would say is, like, just Nintendo continuing to be completely confusing on every level imaginable. they seem not to be able to sell hardware outside of the 3DS, and then they release the new 3DS, and they name it poorly, and no one knows what's going on with it, and it's confusing. And then you had the whole entire Tamagotchi Life gay marriage thing that wasn't possible, and then it just seemed like every week or so there's some sort of Nintendo news where they're just shooting themselves in the foot. But then the good news is it seems like they kind of picked up and kind of got better in the later half of the year. Because, you know, you got Mario Kart, you have Super Smash, and then you had the Legend of Zelda review at the Game Awards. So, thoughts, Sean?
I mean, it's basically what they've been doing for years. I mean, we sold a lot, but I don't know. They still didn't ever really seem to... It seemed to sell on its concept. And then people were like, all right, now what the hell do I do with it?
I think, the Wii mostly sold because it had Wii Sports built in. I really do think that that's what sold that system more than anything in the world.
Yeah, probably.
You can get this thing and get this game with it, and you can do this. And it's like the ultimate, you know, like how the iPhone originally like was sold on the whole entire idea of, you know, the touch scrolling and stuff like that, and pinch to zoom. That was its pinch to zoom, or touch scrolling is just, hey, look, you can wave this thing and you can bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, my sister's boyfriend was playing Wii bowling, Wii Sports bowling with his grandmother just today. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, people still play it.
I mean, and also the Wii's massive because it kind of did branch that gap by becoming a cultural phenomenon that we haven't probably seen since at least the PS2, if not the original Nintendo, of just that, you know, crazy fad. Maybe the Game Boy? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But it just seems like Nintendo's struggling still, and I don't think they know where they want to go or what they want to do, and I don't think they're learning their lessons. I mean, they didn't learn it from naming the Wii U the Wii U. Now we have the new 3DS with that little C-nub stick or whatever, and, you know, all that stuff. So, I don't know. It just seems really bizarre and weird, and why don't they just create a new name under the 3DS? I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. Yeah, that's kind of a lot of the... actually, no, there's another one I have under here. Is Microsoft's mea culpa, basically lowering the price of the system. And then, so they kicked out the Kinect, lowered the price to $399, and then this past fall, they've pretty much been offering the console with a game $50 off. So for basically $349, you can get the console and a game, as opposed to the PS4, where you just get the console for $399. Compare that to a year prior, when it was $499 for the system.
There's a lot of deals now that you can get PlayStation with the game for like $350.
Yeah, but is that Sony like sanctioned, or is that just like Target saying, "Hey, today buy a PS4 and you get $50 off"?
Been on Amazon for a couple weeks.
Really? On Amazon? Huh.
Yeah.
I did not see that. That's interesting. I mean, maybe they're just trying to match up with that. I don't know. Because, I mean, what's interesting is that this directive came from Microsoft, this discounting. It wasn't like a hush-hush, you know, kind of backroom deal. It was Microsoft coming out and saying, "We're doing this," you know, that kind of thing. And plus, it's also just interesting to see the Kinect die, finally, in its own way. Even though now that the system comes out, the Kinect, I'm actually interested more in the Kinect. Go figure.
Like, Kinect's cool if you're going to do all, like, the other multimedia things with it.
Yeah. Also, I hear that it's impossible to get the, to the system menu on a Xbox One without the Kinect.
Really?
Yes. It's just, it's, like, 8 menus deep and ridiculous. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, I just say, you know, system settings, and then you just go right there with the Kinect. You know, instead, like that's that. Funny. So it just is really bizarre. Let's see what else is going on. That's kind of all I have for the game news this year. Do you have any other things off the top of your head? Nintendo at E3 was pretty big, but they're always big at E3. They always have massive, you know.
Yeah.
They always win Game of Show for things, but then it's like the GameCube won Best of Show, and then you see how well that did. I mean, I had a GameCube, but still, I mean, for crying out loud. Your window open, Sean?
Nope.
Oh, God.
It was a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah, I totally heard that 100%. It's almost like when the ice cream truck went by. Ah, good times of the podcast.
Well, the window was open that time.
Yeah, yeah. What's the, any news off the top of your head that was really big this year?
No.
Broken games? Broken-ass games?
Oh, yeah, God, yes. Broken games. Like, everything was broken.
Everything broke at one point or another. It's like PSN down.
Well, that always happens.
Yeah. Yeah, those things go down, and then it was like, hey, do you like Assassin's Creed? It's broken. Hey, do you like... What?
It's not even Assassin's Creed. It was like nearly everything.
Yeah,
was broken.
Okay, so it was Assassin's Creed and the Master Chief Collection.
Well, those were the worst.
Those were bad. Then you had, what else? There were a few other ones, but I'm drawing a blank right now of what they were.
I mean, even like Far Cry when it came out was really buggy. Like nothing comes out complete anymore.
Well, so
they release it and they go, "Nah, we'll fix it eventually."
Well, the problem is that it was brought up really well by the Giant Bomb guys when they were talking about this during their Game of the Week discussion, Game of the Year discussions.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you're not listening to those podcasts, they are amazing. They're like 5 podcasts in a row. They're on day 2 right now, and they just deliberate all of their picks, and it's like 2.5 hour long each episode. So. It's glorious. Jesus. It's glorious podcast Nirvana.
What have they gone over so far?
They've done 2014's old game of the year. So it's like a game that came out prior to 2014 that they got obsessed with. Game most likely to be Frog Fractions 2. most surprising game, which actually went to Stick of Truth.
If you think about that. Makes sense.
Yeah. And then there's a few other ones that I'm still listening to Day 2 right now.
Shadow of Mordor would probably be a good pick for most surprising game.
I think it was up there. I'm not sure exactly.
That had no reason to be good.
Yeah, exactly. what was I saying? What they went over, we're talking about the broken games. I got totally sidetracked right now. Broken games, they went over this stuff, they're mentioning it. Now I'm just totally spaced. I totally forgot what I was talking about. Anyway, great. You see,
just something that they mentioned on their podcast.
Yeah, they mentioned some good stuff about broken games on their podcast. Okay, now it's coming back to me. A lot of the problems that we're saying is just it appears to be that CERT on the consoles has gotten less strict because you can do day one patches. So
right.
It seems like if you promise to fix it, and also it's a combination of lining up promotions with all your various distributors, getting these discs to print months beforehand, and then, you know, eventually getting, you know, any bug fixes done. You print stuff on a disc, you make sure that's ready to go, and, you know, 99% of the population can play it fine, and then you release a day one patch. So that's where a lot of these issues are coming up with, it seems like. It's just, you know, they're like saying, eh, fuck it, we'll patch it on day one.
Well, I mean, it's fine if the patches actually work, like, but they're not.
Or if they actually patch something, because I don't even think Assassin's Creed patched anything.
Well, no, that was that and Master Chief Collection are, like, two completely ridiculous examples of, you know, broken games, but, because I don't think either of them really work yet.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Anything else you can think of for news? E3? I'm just trying to think of any news that you remember. We're going to remember something and be like, oh, why did we forget that? Darn you. I mean, besides the absolute cesspool.
Project Morpheus?
Project Morpheus was cool. I guess we could talk a little bit about that. We're looking at the Oculus Rift and Project Morpheus, which seems to finally be the 1994 dream of virtual reality coming to life.
Virtual Boy.
That's kind of what I was hinting at. Yeah, I don't know what else to say there. It's kind of weird.
Could be cool.
Yeah. I'm thinking about this. I want this to be cool and really interesting. My problem is that it seems too good to be true still, if you know what I mean. I'm worried that my problem is that you have a $400 system and then you're going to buy a $200 headset for it. What's the audience for one? What's the audience for that? Two, how are people going to develop games for that? You're limiting your audience so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't understand it. I don't get how that could work, really.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Hopefully they have something of that figured out or whatever. I mean, just, meh.
It's a situation where you'll have to release, like, what, like, the Oculus is a different story, because that's, like, Facebook owns that now or whatever.
Facebook owns Oculus Rift.
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember.
So bizarre.
But, like, with Morpheus, if they actually are, you know, looking to make that something, you know, profitable or mass produce, which I'm still not exactly sure they are, I almost think it's just a fun, hey, look what we could do. kind of thing. But if Sony's actually looking to make that a, you have to release like the most amazing game for it when it launches.
You need that Wii Sports.
Yeah, something that everyone's like, I need that. I need to play that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And to justify the purchase beyond PlayStation fans being like, I need this right now.
Right. And, well, that's the thing. I don't think PlayStation fans without a game like that would just buy it. Because I'm a PlayStation fan, and I won't buy it without a good game.
Yeah. I mean, and the Vita doesn't do well because of that. So, I don't know.
I think the Vita doesn't do well because the people who have a PlayStation don't want to play the games that are on the Vita.
Well, also the Vita... Sorry, go.
It's, you know, it's an indie machine, which I like, but I'm, you know, I don't know if a lot of people like that.
I mean, I have a Vita, you have Vita. I love the Vita a ton. I'm just playing games on it constantly, but the problem is that you have console budget games for mobile prices, and they're developed like console
right.
games, not mobile games. So that's the problem. You know, that's a big problem with just... Even the PSP, that was a massive problem, you know? And that's what Nintendo gets right, at least, is they develop mobile games. They don't do, you know, long campaigns and stuff like that. If that makes sense.
I mean, I'm fine with long campaigns on portable games.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they are also not trying to make their games look like PlayStation 3 games.
Yeah.
You know, they're... A 3DS game looks like a 3DS game. It's not trying to be anything else.
It's like a GameCube game. It's not a, you know...
Yeah.
It's not a Wii U kind of quality. But what I meant by console-like length games, full-scale, is just, like, long campaigns. Like, not... I mean... Long campaigns you get on the 3DS even, it's just the bite-sized chunks is kind of what I mean.
Right.
Like, look how Luigi's Mansion is done on the 3DS versus the GameCube. GameCube,
yeah.
Long form, open, you know, area, mansion, walk around. The 3DS one is broken into 10 to 15 minute segments, mission style. You know, that's the kind of game design you have to do for mobile.
Right.
So, kind of that's what I was going for. So, my apologies if that was not clear.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any other news, really. Sony seems to be stumbling a little bit with goodwill. That's been something I've been seeing a lot recently. I forget the exact reasons why. I don't know if it's because of game choices, or whatever. I don't know. It's hard to describe. Yeah, I don't know. Any other big news you can think of?
I mean, what do people like want? Like the only real exclusive that each system I feel like only really had one good exclusive.
Yeah.
So it's not like, I don't know. You know, next year is going to be the first year where they really do a lot of exclusives on each. I don't know.
Yeah. I just think everything's too early for this generation.
Yeah.
It's just way too early, and I don't know if we're going to kind of know what's going to happen with it soon. So, yeah. Let's talk about some of our games of 2014. Do we kind of want to alternate and discuss games or kind of discuss
sure.
our favorites? Or do you want to... Yeah, well... Okay, you start, Sean.
All right, well, right now I'm playing Far Cry 4. Definitely up there. It's basically, for our theme park side of people, it's Disney's Animal Kingdom Asia, the video game. It's crazy, like, how much... It's basically Zergazong, which is the Himalaya city where Expedition Everest is, you know, the made-up fictional city where Expedition Everest is.
So it's a bunch of hotels opening next year?
Yeah, but no, like that's like the it's set in like a kind of like Tibetan Himalayan country that's in the midst, you know, middle of a civil war. Basically, this like drug kingpin from Hong Kong took over the country some undesignated time ago, and you show up to spread you and your mother were originally from there. They moved, you know, you moved out when the Civil War started, when you were like a baby. You come back because your mother died and she wanted you to spread her ashes. So you come and you get, you know, mixed up in the Civil War and all that good stuff. But it's an open world first person shooter. It's really cool.
You get to blow up elephants and rhinos.
No, you don't blow up elephants. You ride elephants.
Oh, okay. Well, you can blow them up.
And you destroy people. Well, yeah, you could, but why would you?
Exactly. Why would you destroy elephants when you can destroy things with elephants?
They're your living tank.
This is a good point.
It's really cool. You could, like, while you're riding them, they pick people up with their trunk and throw them.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Is the main villain... not in the game enough? Because I've heard that as a complaint. That the guy, I forget what his name is.
Pagan Min.
Yeah, Pagan Min's like in the game like for 5 minutes.
He talks to you over the radio a lot. You don't see him. Or you see him like very rarely so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm fine with it.
Pagan Min is like, and it's voiced by Troy Baker, right?
Yes.
So it's basically Barry Oldsey Part 2 all over again. It's just Troy Baker speaking to you on a radio.
Yeah.
Okay. I see. Gameplay good? Everything good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Any other thoughts on the game?
A lot of fun. I haven't played multiplayer yet. Probably won't. I'm not a multiplayer player, really.
Don't you have like those free coupons you can give away to your friends to play the game?
Yeah, like 10 people can play with you for an hour for free.
We should do that.
Yeah.
That'd be a good idea. Far Cry 4. I kind of want to get the game. I need to get the game. I just have a bunch right now I need to finish, so it'll probably end up on a pile of shame or something, so...
Yeah, I have 4 that I need to finish.
Yeah.
Including Far Cry.
Yeah. I guess one of the games I'll get into then, since I'm talking, we're talking console right now, is I'll talk some Stick of Truth, because I know you haven't played Stick of Truth yet, have you?
No.
Yeah, South Park Stick of Truth. By the way, I've been finding it a lot for $20 recently, so you should pick it up.
Yeah,
it's worth it.
My PlayStation 3 controller's broken.
Oh, you can. I thought you can use your PS4 one plugged in.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, just do that then. play Stick of Truth. It's really good. The Stick of Truth was Giant Bomb's, as I said before, their surprise game of the year. Basically, the biggest surprise of 2014. That game should have been shit. It was in development hell for years. That game was sliced and diced and killed. It was originally supposed to be like, it was supposed to be like Skyrim, but with South Park, basically. So
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So the craziness is that if you look back at the old screenshots and stuff, you see all this content that was just killed off. Like originally the Goths were going to be a, you know, group you fought against, and now they're not. So it's really interesting just to see how this game was basically trimmed down into what actually developed and was released. And not only that, the fact that this game turned out good because of the history of A, South Park games, and B, licensed games, is just unfathomable. Like, this is GoldenEye quality, you know, at that time.
Right.
Where it's just like, what is this? How is this good? I do not understand. The game's great because it has a good combat mechanics. It has a lot of throwback references that are not too, you know, ham-fisted. A lot of good gameplay. I really like a lot of the settings in the game itself and a lot of the situations, and also it really embraces this. It embraces the medium that it's in. It is not this some sort of, you know, game that has a television show overlay on it. It is clearly South Park the game. They make references to 8-bit games, 16-bit, you know, Super Nintendo RPGs. They make a lot of jokes. They do a lot of cool stuff, you know. They make fun of bosses and all sorts of crazy stuff. So it's a fantastic game.
Nice.
I don't know if I'd say it's my game of the year, but it's really high up there. I really, really, really like Stick of Truth. I played through it, went through it. I think it's at least as funny, if not funnier, than Portal 2, which is saying a lot because Portal 2 is hilarious. The game is just, it's great. I love Portal. I love Portal 2. Yeah, I love Portal 2, but I like Stick of Truth a lot. So pick up Stick of Truth. Nice. Do you have another game you want to talk about, Sean?
Yeah, Dragon Age.
Yeah, how is that? How is that them gearing?
Dragon Age is probably... so far, that's probably my favorite game that came out in 2014.
Really?
Yeah. I like all that, shit. I like fantasy. I like RPGs that take me freaking forever to beat. And when BioWare is on their game, they're the best at writing good story and character.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, you know, good stuff. So... yeah, there. You know, I really, really liked it, especially after how poorly Dragon Age 2 ended up being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I big fan of Dragon Age 3 because Dragon Age 2 was like, I don't know if you've played any of them, but it was just
I haven't.
Dragon Age 1 was huge and all that kind of stuff. You know, big open world, and then Dragon Age 2 happened all in the same exact city the entire time.
Oh,
and like
God.
The same dungeons. Yeah, it was bad. They apologized for it and everything.
That sounds terrible.
It sounded like it was like EA pushed to get it out quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like that was right when EA bought, BioWare, I want to say.
Yeah.
I think EA real.
And that's when they were like, you know what? We're going to rename every studio BioWare.
Yeah. Well, that, but that was also, I think they realized, like, maybe we shouldn't rush these games out. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But Dragon Age 3 was huge. You know, like, it was... like big open world areas that were connected by a world map and stuff like that. It was good. I liked it a lot. Good characters.
Did you get out of that first zone real quick, or did you complete everything?
No, I took like 20 hours in the first zone.
Oh, you did it wrong. That's all I know about the game is that first zone. Get out of it as quickly as possible. Otherwise you like break the game almost.
Yeah.
How's the character creator?
It's pretty, you know, I don't mess around with that a lot, but I know I've seen other people who have made characters that look exactly like themselves.
Okay.
So it's pretty deep if you want to, you know, put the time into it.
Yeah, I've heard complaints about it, actually, the character creator, that it's kind of flawed in a way, but I'm not sure exactly how because I've not touched it yet, so I don't know.
I don't know. I don't play around with that a lot.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't care.
Okay, well, you know,
I don't care what my dude looks like.
Yeah.
Especially when I played as a Kunari, who are like 7 feet tall and have horns. So.
Well, that's you in real life.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I look like Satan.
Yeah, well. I bet you there's some people who will swear about that.
Yes.
Anything else with Far Cry? Not Far Cry. With Dragon Age 3?
I want to commend BioWare for writing they have a transsexual character in there.
Interesting.
Yes, biologically they are female, but they consider themselves male, and
Yeah.
like he is very well written, and he's like the second in command of this kick-ass mercenary troop you get on your side. The leader of the mercenary group is the Kunari like companion that you can get. His name's Iron Bull. He's the best character in the game. But yeah, so like it's handled well. At one point you're like sitting down with the Bull's Chargers, that's the mercenary company, and they're like, you're in the your base's tavern, like drinking. And you have the option to ask Krem, that's the transsexual character, like all about like his situation. And it's like pretty tastefully written and well done. So that I thought that was a surprise.
Yeah, that's
And
really.
nice in the era of Gamergate to see that.
Yeah, I was about to mention Gamergate before in the news segment. Yeah, it's really good. Just God, we need more of just diversity because it makes things so much more interesting. It really does. Because yeah, just it's good. It's good. Diversity is good, period. So.
Believe it's an old wooden ship.
Yes, it is from Civil War era.
Love
Who doesn't?
movie. Ron, I'd be very surprised if the network was worried about us having the lack of an old wooden ship.
Have you ever played the game the excuse me, the television mustache game, by the way?
Yes.
I played that in college with Anchorman, and if the mustache lined up with someone who had a mustache, you had to take two drinks.
That's awesome.
So yeah, anyway, there you go. I guess I'll get into probably my favorite game this year that was not released this year at all. Talking about giant RPGs that will suck up your soul for 65 hours and dominate you, and a game that I told you need to play. And that is Persona 4 Golden on the Vita. I never thought I was a massive, crazy JRPG, fan, but this game kind of sold me on it all. It's just ridiculously good. The combat mechanics are great. The story is basically a murder mystery. Murders are happening in this town. They don't understand why. The police are basically inept and not able to solve it. You transfer to the city because your parents are working abroad for a year. So you have to make friends, and it's crazy. It's like a cross between a dating sim and a massive JRPG kind of situation. And then a little bit of
Really?
Pokemon in it. So it's really good.
Interesting.
It is really, really good. The writing is fantastic. The last thing I would call myself is a JRPG and anime fan, but this is a great JRPG, and they have really cool like cutscenes, animated cutscenes, like opening up a lot of the major plot points and stuff. And it's just incredibly interesting and detailed and really different.
Cool.
I don't. All I can say is that a game is really good when I start dreaming about the game mechanics, and I was dreaming about Persona 4 Golden. So there were nights where I was dreaming about, like, oh God, I need to do the healing rounds and like have all my my support guys actually attack as I heal everyone, in the middle of the night. So I'm like, oh God, what have I become? So I cannot recommend this game enough. I'll send you my copy, Sean.
All right.
When you're free, I will send it to you, and you have to play this game. It is so good. And not only that, I actually do recommend if anyone wants to play this game or pick it up, the Persona 4 for the I think it's on PS3, PS2 Classics on the PS3, and it's on PS2 and it's on the Vita. If you play the game, go with a walkthrough of it. Don't read ahead, but mainly because it's a very complicated game and there are many branching paths, especially when you get to the end of the game, that can totally kind of be bad ending if you kind of get what I mean. So there's like right. four endings. So there's like, if you don't do the branch paths really well, you could kind of get screwed up and be like, oh, that game sucked. So,
right.
So you need to kind of follow that. And there's and then there's a part where you actually think the game's done, but it's not done at all. So, yeah, there you go. So that's kind of my sort of Joe's 2014, not 2014 game of the year for me. Also, Troy Baker's in the game, too. Cool. He does a voice. Because Troy
he's
Baker,
in every game.
He's in every game. Troy Baker's in every game now. He's like Nolan North, but worse. And by worse, I don't mean he's a worse voice actor. Just like he's everywhere. So, Sean, yes. what's another game you want to talk about?
I'm trying to think.
How about you
think what else came out this year?
You think a little bit, and I'll talk about another game that I was playing. Let's continue on the Troy Baker round of things and talk about Burial at Sea, Part 1 and 2. Actually came out this year. I don't know if Part 1 came out this year, but Part 2 definitely did.
I think they did.
Part 2 definitely did. And by the way, let's go back to that. Biggest game news of the year. Irrational is shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although they just expanded again.
I did not see that.
Yes.
Boy. Jeez. Is Ken Levine still working under the Irrational name? Or is it a different company?
I think so.
Interesting. Huh. So they probably trimmed down and they're rebuilding once they have a concept down, probably.
Yeah, who knows?
But Burial at Sea is really, really, really good. Both parts. The only problem is that you really have to play the first Bioshock in order to really like it. So that's my only complaint. But, I mean, it really does... There's a lot of contrived wooden dialogue that kind of has to weave these two properties together in a way that makes sense because... Basically, it's like trying to retcon everything in both games at the same time.
Right.
So, it's still really well done. Everything is beautiful. There is gay marriage in that game. So there you go for more diversity. It's very understated. It's like two guys holding hands, looking out into the ocean floor, basically. That's all it is. It's really cool.
Which is weird, because you'd figure Andrew Ryan would not be happy about that.
Oh, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? He's all about personal choice. He's all about gods. Not gods.
He says that, but he's also kind of a dickbag.
Yeah, but he's not like... it just seems he seems to be more along the lines of the society can do whatever it wants kind of thing, as long as it's not to dethrone me. So, I don't know. So that Burial at Sea, that was a really good DLC pack, and I think you can pick that up as like a Game of the Year edition for Bioshock Infinite, which I think would be is a steal probably to get, you know, like good 15-20 hours of gameplay plus additional another 5 to 6 hours of gameplay on top of that with Burial at Sea.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty good. You think of another game, Sean?
No, I was listening to you talk.
My glorious voice.
I think those are the two best games that I played this year by far. As in Dragon Age and Far Cry.
What about Tearaway? You played Tearaway, right?
Yeah, that wasn't this year, was it?
That was not a game released this year, but you did play it this year.
Yes, I played it this year, true.
I mean, Persona.
Yeah, that's
Persona that, 4 Golden came out in 2012, for crying out loud. So
yeah, that was probably my favorite not of 2014 that I played.
What are your thoughts on
it? Yes, good point. Fantastically cute, but also like fairly challenging for what it is. Especially, I'm still trying to 100% it.
Nice.
There's like, you know, multiple levels. Like, there's a level I just cannot not die in. And that's one of the things to 100% to get the platinum trophy. You know, you have to not die and finish each level without dying.
Is that end level with all the... All the, yeah. like, the rolling parts. Oh, God, I hate that. That was terrible.
The rolling parts are so hard.
Oh, God. That was real bad. That was a rough one. Yeah, I love Tearaway. I can't wait for it to come out on the PS4. I'm going to pick it up on the PS4. Totally.
I hope a lot of people do. I worry they won't, but... Yeah, I hope people do, just because I want more people to play that. I'm sure not enough people played it on the Vita.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Vita has a small... I think I remember hearing, like, stuff of, like, they sold 10,000 copies 1 month. It's just really embarrassingly low numbers for that game.
Yeah.
Which is just really disappointing, because it's so, so good. And Media,
it's so good.
And Media Molecule is so, so good, too. So.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of... Little Big Planet, like, mm-hmm. I appreciate what it does, and like what it sets out to do, but I think the gameplay is just a little floaty for me, and I'm not patient enough to create levels,
mm-hmm.
on, you know, the scale that other people do, but yeah, I mean, for I know people love it, and the communities that they made, you know, little, you know, yeah, Medium Molecule, blah, 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 is good. Yeah.
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 I want to bring up a real quick mobile game that was fantastic, and I kind of want to get into some of the games that were, like, disappointments or kind of meh this year that we played. Probably the best mobile game this year is Monument Valley.
It's, yeah, I didn't play it.
You need to buy it. It's not that expensive.
I don't like mobile.
But you can play it on your phone. It's basically M.C. Escher paintings that come to life, and you kind of try to solve puzzles using those mechanics of, you know,
yeah.
rotate this so this looks like it shouldn't work, but it could become, you know, that kind of thing where it looks like, you know, the...
Yeah,
the infinite strip, you know, like, you get the idea. Absolutely brilliant, beautiful game, great story, good music, whole nine yards. You need to play it. It's great. So buy it. If you guys have not bought it yet, it's worth every penny. Go get it. It's just beautiful. And they released an expansion, too, so there's a bunch of new content. So go pick that up.
Yeah, that was the game where people were bitching because they had to pay for an expansion, right?
It was like $2.
Yeah.
It's literally $2 for another hour and a half to 2 hours of content.
People are the worst.
People are pretty bad. Yeah, they're really bad. let's talk about some disappointing games of the year. I think we really cannot start this discussion without talking about Destiny.
Yeah.
Problem.
I have the expansion, and I still haven't, like, installed it or put the game in since the expansion came out.
I think I've played 5 hours of Destiny in total. My problem with Destiny is it's just the same fucking five things over and over again.
Yep.
Over and over and over and over and over and over, and it's like Peter Dinklage saying, I'll scan this, you defend, you know? And it's like, oh my god, just, I don't want to do this again. And it doesn't change up things anywhere as much as it should. There's been talk that there's some problems with the development that somehow cut down what was happening or something. I'm not really sure how to explain it. But it just seems really bizarre that Bungie kind of developed this game that looks beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
The guns have heft and a feel to them that are amazing. But then it's like...
And multiplayer's really good.
Yeah. I played with Brian Mann from OU a few times. And, you know, we had good times. It just... I don't know. It just doesn't work for me at all.
Here's the thing. I can get down with repetitive gameplay if the story has me invested. I don't give a shit about anything that happens in Destiny.
There's a story in Destiny?
Right, exactly.
As I said again, I hate keep referencing these guys, but Giant Bomb, they were joking that they were talking about story of the year, and they were joking, they jokingly put Destiny on there, and some guy said Destiny would be Best video game story found on a website for 2014. Because everything just gets thrown, just go to the website, read up about this, you know?
Well, that too, yeah.
Yeah, it just, there's nothing. And that's why I like Persona 4 so much, is that there's this awesome story that goes through with the gameplay, and the gameplay is fucking repetitive as hell.
Well, that's how I feel about Dragon Age. You know, Dragon Age doesn't do anything special with its gameplay, but I give a shit about everything that's happening, so
yeah.
I love it, you know?
And also the combat in Persona 4 is at least has enough depth and is interesting enough. So it's like I can approach it from various angles, you can do different things, but it's the same thing over and over again. As opposed to Destiny, where it's just like, protect this thing here as it's getting scanned, or go find this thing, or go kill this guy. Missions over and over and over and over and over again.
And, like, nothing's explained. There's just no depth to it whatsoever.
It's
just all superficial.
To compare this to anything else, I would say this is, like, the 71 Tomorrowland of games. It's just very pretty, but ultimately vapid. There's nothing there. It's just kind of exists, if you know what
yes.
I mean. So, yeah, Destiny was a disappointment. I've not played Assassin's Creed Unity. I don't think you have either. But
no.
I think it's worth mentioning that game seems to be an utter mess on the grandest proportions.
Hopefully this gets them to not release one of them every single year.
We can only hope.
I don't know how that's sold. I'm sure it sold really well, like, in its first week or first few days, but I have to assume it dropped off after that.
Well, also remember that was a bundle right now for the Xbox One.
Right,
so
it is.
If you're buying it, you're probably getting that as a digital download, and that costs virtually nothing, so they're kind of giving it to you.
They're giving it away for free in a lot of spots.
Yeah.
That was also or Amazon had the deal for, like, I think it was actually two PS3 games with the system for $400.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the games was automatically Unity.
Yeah.
And then you could pick, like, I think it was, like, Destiny, Far Cry, and I don't remember what else.
Yeah, what's really interesting is that the Black Flag last year, they had a downloadable content. I forget the name of it off the top of my head. But it was really good, and it was like about freeing slaves on the island. One of the
Freedom Cry?
Something like that. Yeah. The developers who did that DLC are working on a next-generation version of Assassin's Creed.
Another one?
They're working. They're not working on DLC. They're working on its own an own game. Their own game. So
right.
I don't know if it's next year. I just heard that it's going to be a new game, full game, developed by them. So
okay,
that's something I would keep an eye out for. Especially since Assassin's Creed games seem to be just every single property and, like, game development studio that Ubisoft owns or has ever worked with somehow works on this game. Somehow having such a studio head this up, I think, is a good sign, I think. But
it's a shame that Unity wasn't good, because I think it's got a great, great setting. Black Flag was so good.
What's really scary is it seems to be every year Assassin's Creed gets leaked earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
Like, last year it was like May. No, not even May. It was like April. This year it, like, leaked in November what the next Assassin's Creed was with screens. It's like, oh my
god. Everything
God.
Gets leaked now, man.
Well, not everything gets leaked. Which I think we should talk about another game that came out that did not get leaked whatsoever, but hold on one second. I just feel like the problem with Assassin's Creed is the gameplay is not interesting enough to make it a yearly franchise.
I don't know. I thought Black Flag was, like, here's the thing. I think the gameplay is fine if they don't have you do those stupid frickin' tail missions.
Oh, they will.
Where you have to tail people in, like, a little circle.
Yep.
Like, that's literally the only thing that happens in those games that I hate. Like, I enjoy everything else, but I hate those stupid tail missions.
Yeah.
God, I hate those missions.
They're terrible. You've been rating them one star, right?
Yeah, right. Right. Like, they give a shit about that.
Yeah. I kind of want to bring Rat back into this and talk about the games, good games of the year. Something that did not leak whatsoever, was a complete surprise, was a viral media campaign like none other. Probably, easily, one of the biggest surprise announcements this year in gaming. Do you know where I'm going with this, Sean?
No.
PT.
Oh, yeah, that.
It was announced. Was it announced at E3 or was it somewhere else? And it was just saying,
yeah,
this is a new horror game. E3. It's a demo. It's going up now. Go play it. And it was just, that's all it was. It was literally a minute of them talking about it, and then people downloaded it and they played it, and it scared the shit out of them, A. And then B, at the end, when you beat the game, it turns out it's a Resident Evil. It's a Silent Hill.
Silent Hill.
Preview.
Same thing.
Yeah, Resident Evil, Silent Hill, all the same stuff. Silent Hill a reboot, basically, with Kojima and Guillermo del Toro. So that's kind of ridiculous. And the fact that no one knew that until the game went up is sort of nuts. So anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was scary too.
Oh yeah. Oh, it was
terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying. I've not played it, but I've seen playthroughs with Patrick Klepek from Giant Bomb, and that guy does spooking with scoops. So he basically drinks and turns off all the lights and plays horror games at 1 a.m. So
I no lie, I played PT with the lights out, and it was terrifying.
Yeah, that's a bad decision, man. And there's some good jump shots of him, like just like getting like freaked out, like dropping controller and going, like I can't do this. Yeah, PT, I think that was an interesting concept that happened. Really a big surprise, too. You know, you never saw it coming.
And you know what's funny? The actual game will not be a quarter as scary as that was.
Exactly. How crazy is that going to be?
The actual game will probably be terrible.
I wouldn't call it terrible, but it won't be as good because what works with horror very well, as you can tell from our experiences with horror, if you know what I mean, is that a corridor that you walk down that can build suspense and then deliver on it, builds suspense. Horror is built on the winding of a spring and letting it go over and over again.
Yeah.
That is accomplished by having corridors that you walk down, quite literally, whether it be a Halloween Horror Night house or, you know, a L-shaped hallway in a house that you repeat over and over again that changes every once in a while. That's horror, basically. So, and that's how horror works in interactive mediums. So that's why Halloween Horror Nights works. That's why PT works. So, and that's why Silent Hill, I think, will not work. But I'm nowhere near a horror expert, so I won't say anything else about that. Another disappointing game this year, Watch Dogs.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Watch Dogs.
A beautiful game. I played another 5 hours of that and then just kind of put it down.
I didn't play that at all.
That is an Assassin's Creed-y-ass Assassin's Creed game, I've ever seen one. What I see a problem with is that Ubisoft has kind of developed this game design mechanic where you have to unlock parts of the map. So whether you jump up on top of towers or you scan things or you... Or even in, like, The Crew, their racing game, you have to, like, go access satellite dishes to unlock stuff. It's ridiculous. It's contrived game mechanic. That's bullshit. They've kind of applied everywhere, it seems like, which sucks. But it seems like Watch Dogs had this kind of awesome idea that just never worked. It's too open-ended. There's a part of the game where you're trying to chase down this guy, and you can activate effects and stuff, but the problem is that none of the prompts are clear what's going on. It's very confusing. There's no really good tutorial.
Right.
It doesn't actually apply to real life, so it's very much so controlled small situations that it only works in. And then also the driving sucks, like nobody's business. It's terrible.
I thought it was interesting. And I saw a couple other people complain about it, but like originally it seemed like it was just going to be kind of like you're this vigilante guy doesn't use guns, but now like, and then all of a sudden it was like, nope, just going to shoot everybody.
Yep.
Yes. Just going to shoot all the people.
LOL, JK.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. It's, why do we always have to have guns? There's other weapons. Let's use other weapons sometimes.
Crossbows.
Maybe not. Maybe let's not kill everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Jeez. Yeah. That was disappointing. Any other disappointing games you can think off the top of your head?
Negative.
I'm just trying to think of other things.
Not that I didn't. No. Nothing that I played was all that disappointing.
What were your
except
thoughts?
For Destiny.
Yeah, what was your thoughts on Second Son?
Yeah, I like Second Son a lot.
Did you beat it?
I did.
Okay, I got to the second island and kind of dicked around a little bit and then didn't really continue.
Yeah, I liked how fluid it was. I really liked the neon power. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That story was a little disappointing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or not necessarily the story. I just thought the main character was a little blah. Like, he could have been a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like if he was a lot more interesting, that game would have, you know, people would have really loved that game. But he wasn't. So, that's that.
Yeah. Have you played
But yeah, I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
Did you play the DLC that actually is with the girl who has a neon power? It's like her backstory?
Yeah, no, I want to, but I haven't done that.
Okay.
I haven't gotten around to it.
I think that's maybe a PSN exclusive or something like that.
It's yeah, it is. And you don't even need the game to play it.
Yeah. We should do that. I should do that. Sounds good. Yeah, let's do that. I'm trying to think. Is there any other games you want to talk about this year at all? Good, bad, indifferent? Shrug?
No, I don't think so. I'll talk about the few Wii U games I played.
Okay.
Donkey Kong Country, Tropical mm-hmm. Freeze. I still haven't beaten that, but it's very good, as you know, the retro Donkey Kong games have been. Very difficult in the later stages.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Really difficult, but really good. You know, old school. Brings you back to the Super NES days. Mario Kart was really good. I kind of fell out with that. I want to maybe get back into that at some point. You know, Mario Kart's always good, though. So that's mm-hmm. not that surprising. Hyrule Warriors. Total schlock. But
you
I
played
it.
That? Really?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I played that for 3 weeks. I love there was a time where me and my friend played one of the Dynasty Warriors games, I don't remember, on PlayStation 2 for like forever, trying to get all the weapons for people. Like, we were obsessed with that game. It's definitely a nostalgic factor for me for the Dynasty Warriors. I know they're terrible games. They're not terrible, but they're, you know,
the same game over and 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 over every year, every year, every year.
Yes.
Like Assassin's Creed.
Right, exactly. And then add the nostalgic factor of Zelda in there too, and you've got super nostalgia. So I enjoyed it. Definitely not a great game, but very fun.
Are you going to pick up Bayonetta 2?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I don't, I have no interest in that.
That's gotten, like, perfect reviews.
Yeah, I know.
yeah,
It's just one of those. I just don't care about it.
Okay,
you know?
Fair enough. I'm not judging. Are you gonna get Toad's Treasure Tracker?
I might. I haven't looked into that. I know it's getting really good reviews, though.
Yeah. I think that 3D World, Mario Kart.
Yeah, I need to get 3D World. I still haven't gotten that.
The new Zelda. And a bunch of those games, I kind of want to get a Wii U just for those.
Well, Zelda, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I want to get a Wii U just for that. So, I don't know. It's really difficult with the Wii U. I'm looking to get a...
I call Nintendo console Zelda machines. That's the only reason I get them.
Yeah. I mean,
like, all the other Nintendo games are side pieces that I enjoy a lot. But I get them for Zelda.
Yeah.
No question about it.
I liked, I love Wind Waker, so the fact they remastered that,
I have that. Yeah, that's
awesome. I may beat Wind Waker for, like, the fourth time now, or something, because Wind Waker is one of the few games I've beat more than once. I think the only other...
Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker are the two games I've beaten, like, over... Five times.
Over five times? Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I've had Ocarina of Time for, like, four consoles.
Yeah. This is a good point. You got it on the N64, you had it on the GameCube, you have it
64
on...
64, GameCube, I had it on the Wii.
And the 3DS.
And I had it on the 3DS.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Are you
gonna
buy
that for the PlayStation 4 if they let me.
Are you going to pick up Majora's Mask on the 3DS? No, wait, you sold your 3DS.
I sold my 3DS.
Okay, there you go. That's the reason why. Okay, never mind.
I don't have the love for Majora's Mask.
I can see that. I understand. It's a different kind of game that there's people who love that, and then there's people who hate it. It's
like
divisive.
I didn't hate it. I really liked it, but it's not. It's just not my favorite.
Makes sense. No,
it's
I get
a little
that.
Too dark.
Oh, a little too dark. Yeah, you're right. You know, dungeons and concepts based around the stages of grieving and a moon crashing into the world. Yeah, a little dark. A little dark. I'm trying to think if there's any other games I want to talk about from 2014. One popped up in my head. I just completely lost it now. Tomodachi Life I played... I played the new Professor Layton, but I have not finished that. But it came out, like, months ago. I think I'm just Professor Layton kind of, I don't know, burnt out, I would say. It's very much a point-and-click game. And I loved the stories and the gameplay of Professor Layton. I thought it was really cool, but I'm just burnt out now. I should probably go back into it soon. I'll probably like it more. For Christmas, I just got Persona Q. Which is a crazy mashup of Persona 3 and 4. So I'm excited for that. And I also got Little Big Planet. It's a long story, that game. Persona 3, all the Persona games are in the same universe. This game crosses 3 and 4 over together in a dungeon crawler kind of thing. It's really it's a different game. It's for the 3DS. It's bizarre, and they also went with the
that was for the 3DS.
Yeah, and it's also with a chibi style. You know, the kind of cute short characters with the big eyes. I'll send you. Let me put it this way. I'll send you my favorite Persona character as he looks in Persona 4 versus in Q, and you'll be like, oh, okay. I totally understand what's going on right now. excuse me. It's a good game. I like it. I just not have gotten into it that much yet. I picked up Persona 3 on the PSP for Vita. You know what? Huge disappointment. I want to rant about right now. The PSP version of Persona 3 is not like the PS2 version. They cut out a lot of the cutscenes and other stuff. and I am incredibly disappointed. Really? Yeah, you don't walk around. It's like this menu system, and it's I hate it. It just, ugh.
Oh, that's weird.
When I saw it before, I'm like, oh, well, it's clear because I didn't develop it yet. And then it's like, oh, no, we had to cut this all back because of the PSP. And I can't get a good release of it on mobile. I can only get it on the PS3 for Persona 3. I'm just really disappointed. So, whatever. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I picked up a bunch of Vita games this year, I guess the best thing I could say.
Oh, did you ever get Last of Us?
No, I have not. Dude. That's not my kind of game, though. I need to. It'll show up on PlayStation Plus or something. I'll get it for cheap somewhere. I'll do that soon.
Well, the PS4 version's out. I'm sure it'll get price cut to hell sometime soon.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get it for free in June of 2015, so or something of that nature.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be on there eventually.
Yeah.
I played that again, obviously, because I got the remastered version for PlayStation 4.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
That's like a top five game for me.
One of the crazy things is that I can't believe BioShock Infinite has not been re-released for next-gen consoles.
I don't think they'll do that.
I see that as that good point where it was still there. I think they're still able to do it, but they didn't do it. So I don't know. That came out in 2013, though. No. Yeah, 2013.
Yeah.
So I mean, you they could have done that for like day and date almost if they wanted to, and probably sold a bunch too. So do you want to go into what you're looking forward to in 2015, Sean?
Everything.
Everything. What are you looking forward to in 2015?
Coming out next year.
What are you looking forward to?
There are really like so many good games coming out next year, or what should be good games. Batman.
Oh yeah, that got delayed.
Zelda. Yeah. Batman, Zelda, Star Fox, Uncharted. God, I looked at the list, and I'm gonna spend so much money on games next year.
Uncharted will be good.
Hold on, let me look at the list again.
Okay. I think next year we're also getting what's the Nintendo one that they showed at E3, Splatoon.
Splatoon.
Yeah, that's coming out, which looks interesting.
Yeah.
Then you also, yeah, I mean, as you said, the other one, Zelda, Star Fox.
Zelda's definitely my most anticipated.
Yeah. You have The Order, but that looks to be a terrible game.
I don't know. I still think it looks good.
I heard the gameplay is absolutely atrocious whenever they've shown it off. Just absolutely terrible.
I don't know. Heard it's like Gears of War, and I'm alright with that.
Okay, fair enough. I'm trying to think what else.
Let me see what else came out.
To continue my obsession, Persona 5 is coming out next year on the PS4. So you have to play Persona 4 Golden, Sean, and then you can play Persona 5. It was originally supposed to come out this winter, Persona 5, but I think they may have delayed it like a year or so. So I think that's probably a summer fall game 2015 now. So that'll be fun. I'm really looking forward to that.
God. Blue's playing with the cord of my headphones. Stop.
Oh, Baloo.
Stop, you idiot. let me see. I'm looking at the list of things that are coming out next year. Oh, Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Oh, Roller Coaster Tycoon World. I don't know how I feel about that after Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
Yeah, it's unfortunately has the same art style, but they said they're going to have dark rides. Stop!
The problem with Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
Eat that.
The problem with Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 is it feels like the design document was simply ride the roller coasters you design, and that was it. They designed it around that, and it ignored everything else. Apparently, they
redesigned the design tools, that so they should be better.
Thank God. If you can make Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 in 3D, proper 3D, not isometric, you know, transportation tycoon style design, awesome, but just don't do it because 3D is the new thing, kids. Ha ha ha. So.
Yeah.
Polygons are where it's at. We need to do that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I've never played this franchise, but The Witcher comes out.
I'm kind of
interested to play that.
Yeah, I've heard good things about The Witcher 2. I've heard good things about Witcher 3 coming out. So that'd be good. Looking forward to that. At least to hear about it. Maybe not play it myself. I believe the new Halo is coming out next year.
Yeah, that means nothing to me.
Yeah, well, I'm just throwing it out there.
Grim Fandango remastered.
And Day of the Tentacle.
Yes, both of them. I never played either of them, so I'm excited to play them.
Neither have I, and I believe Grim Fandango is coming out June 29th or 19th or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's coming out in June, so like in a month, that's coming out. That's ridiculous. And
you mean January?
January, not June. Sorry. Yeah. Also, that throws me back. That throws me back to games of last year. Broken Age.
Part one. That's coming out for the PlayStation stuff.
Yeah. So Broken Age Part 1 came out and was good, and Broken Age Part 2 is going to come out next year, and that's really, really good. Old school. Point-and-click adventure game stuff. So, that's really cool. Yeah. Really excited about that. Anything else good you see on the list?
Hold on.
Or is Baloo just being a dick?
Well, he's messing with me, but...
Yeah.
That's fine. I think he has a cold, so I can't be too hard on him.
Aw.
Mario Maker?
Oh, I forgot about Mario Maker.
Yeah.
That seems interesting, to say the least.
Oh, God. My literally number one game that I'm excited for is supposedly coming out next year. No Man's Sky.
Oh, yeah. Good point. No Man's Sky.
Forgot about that. That's like... I hope it comes out next
year. That guy out your window loves No Man's Sky. Because I really want to play that.
Yeah, that guy agrees with me.
Yeah.
Honk for No Man's Sky.
Yeah, No Man's Sky. I'm trying to think what else there is.
Wikipedia says apparently there's supposed to be a Ratchet and Clank game coming out for PS4, but I don't think that's happening.
I feel like that's bullshit, so...
Yeah. I would love that, because I like that series.
So we have Metal Gear Solid, The Phantom Pain... is coming out next year. We got
that's another one. That's another series that just is not for me.
Yeah, no, fair. I understand. It's not for me either. But you know, that Quantum Break game is coming out next year.
That's Xbox, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another Homefront.
Yeah, I'd say my top. Apparently, that got canceled.
Really?
Which I'm kind of disappointed in because it was supposed to be set in Philadelphia. And I wanted to see my apartment in a video game.
Everyone's Gone to the Rapture. I'm not really sure what this game is about, but it sounds interesting. Codename Steam for the 3DS. You got Star Wars Battlefront.
Oh, yeah, that's where you get to fight with Lincoln. Oh, yeah, Battlefront comes out next year.
Yeah. The one where it's not killing... It's not cops killing people, if you know what I mean.
Oh, Battlefield Hardline.
Yeah, exactly. That unfortunate announcement. Let's see what else there is.
The Division.
Yeah, The Division. Frog That's Fractions one 2. I was
looking forward to.
Frog Fractions 2, whatever.
What the hell is Frog Fractions?
Have you ever played Frog Fractions?
No.
Can I link it to you and then... Just don't look it up and just play it. It's a Flash game on a web browser. Just play it and just keep playing it, and you'll...
Oh, you know what? I think I've heard of that. Is that where, like, a bunch of crazy shit happens in the game, and it, like, changes from games?
Yes. It starts out... It starts as an edutainment fractions game, and becomes incredibly absurd, and you start buying all these power-ups, and then the power... I'll send you the game, but you need to play it, at least, a little bit, until you stop. But basically what happened with Frog Fractions is that the guy did Frog Fractions 2 for on a Kickstarter, but basically said, this game is not going to be Frog Fractions 2. It'll be a completely different game, completely different concept. It's still going to be balls out nuts insane. And one of the things is saying, I will release it without telling you guys about this, and then once someone figures it out, I will then tell you guys about it and give you a free download code.
That's awesome.
So he's like, I'm not going to tell you what it is, when it's coming out, but when people figure it out, I'll give you the download code. So people are all crazy about that. So that's another thing I have to send you now.
Okay.
So here's Everyone's Gone to the Raptures for the PS4. It's by SCE Santa Monica. It's a spiritual successor to Dear Esther. The game will be set in a large open world and be story-driven. There you go. Everybody's Gone to the Rapture will be based around six characters, each telling their own story and each connected to landmarks in the world to evolve as the game progress. The game will take place in a village in Shropshire during the apocalypse. So, interesting.
Is the new Gone Home game coming out next year? I know it's not
Gone Home, but yeah.
The game by those people.
I'm not sure. I forget what it's called.
They showed it at the Game Awards.
Yeah.
It's on like a moon base. I forget.
I'm searching for it right now.
At the Game Awards, they showed another game. I don't think it's coming out next year, but it looked really cool. It was like you're on a space station that got kind of like destroyed, and it's basically you surviving and trying to get back to Earth.
Yeah. Cool. I'm trying to see.
A lot of cool indie games coming out.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's great is that there's just a lot of really just cool indie games now, as opposed to previously, where it seems like indie games have taken over for the second party games of yesteryear.
Yeah.
The game is called Tacoma, and it's coming out in 2016.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, 2016. Never mind then.
Yeah. Trying to figure out what else. Trying to see if anything else. Oh, by the way, another crazy-ass game released. Two, actually, more crazy-ass games released this year. One, Sports Friends. That includes Johann Sebastian Joust. Have you ever heard of that game? Have you heard of that game?
No.
It's, the game is just playing Johann Sebastian Bach. And the song speeds up or stops. But you're moving with PS4 controllers or Move controllers, and you try to knock the other controller. So, like, you want to move with the music, so you don't want to move the controller too fast. So if you hit someone or knock the controller out, it knocks them out of the game. So, so basically, it's just people running around in a living room trying to, like, stopping and starting and running and knocking controllers out. Like, my best friend and I were playing the game, and at one point I picked him up over my shoulder and threw him on the ground to knock him out of the game. It's crazy. There's a bunch of other games in there too. Also, another game from this year that you need to play is Bubsy 3D something something something. Bubsy 3D goes to like some museum. It's like this really crazy ass flash game. Yes.
Bubsy, as in the crappy Sega game?
Yeah, but no, the crappy PlayStation game, but it's not a license. It's not licensed at all. It's just somebody took the character and was like, he's going to this modern museum, and it's like a shitty platformer, and at the end of the game, you end up like running a school bus into a Applebee's for for some odd reason, because why not? God. I mean, it's just bizarre. Like, you go to hell and you're racing down in, like, a casket. It's really bizarre. So,
hashtag Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Exactly. That's pretty much Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. So, anything else, Sean, you can think of? Because I am kind of no idea what's going on.
Yeah, we really rambled on this one.
Yeah. Rambling is an understatement of the century, so...
No, good year for video games. I think next year is going to be really good.
I would say this year was an okay year. I mean, it wasn't the best, but it was good, I would say.
The next-gen system started to find their footing, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think this year will be, you know, the year where the coming out party for them. You know, the real... We're here. We're going to be here for a while. Here's our, you know, starting to get our best stuff going.
Yeah. Sweet. So I'm going to go play some Persona 3. I'll play some Little Big Planet 3. You're going to go play some Far Cry 4. I'll play more Persona Q. I don't know what else I'm going to be doing. FIFA. Why not?
Did you get 15?
Yeah, I have 15.
Yeah.
So I've been playing that. Whenever my friends come into town, I pull up the controllers and play that with them. That's kind of my default controller that way. So,
nice.
I don't have anything else to add.
Yeah, neither do I.
Okay, cool. Well, I don't think we're going to see any... We're not going to talk to these people until 2015 time frame. So probably January.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Be safe. Enjoy. Have a good holidays, too. Yep, so we'll see you guys later. Take care, and Kungaloosh, et cetera, right? Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
See ya.
Peace.